breaking down the latest New York Giants disappointment with special guest David Turner, coming up next on the Locked on Giants podcast.
You are Locked on Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you, and it happened again. 17-14, the Giants lost to an Atlanta Falcons team who was missing its top cornerback, who had given up, I think, some close to 80 points, if not more than that. And on Eli Manning Day, and I'm laughing here, folks, but it's all I can do to keep from crying. I just don't know what else to say. I mean, I was speaking with our special guest, David Turner, before we started recording, about how I'm running out of ways to write about this, to talk about it. David's going to help me make some sense out of it, and I don't know if there's any way he's going to make this sound better or make us all feel better based on what he sees. But David, first off, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. Where do we start with this group? What went wrong this time?
Let's start with positives.
Okay, that works.
We'll start with positivity, and then we'll bring everybody back down. Okay. So, Shaq looked like Shaq. He really did. I mean, the offensive line is beat up. It's not really where it needs to be to open all the holes. But, I mean, look at what he did today. I mean, he rushed 16 times for 51 yards and had a touchdown, right? And, you know, he caught the ball another six times for 43 yards. So you look at it, and that's kind of, you know, a few more rushing yards, a few more touches. If he can get to 20 touches rushing and, you know, right around the 100 mark, you know, if he can get four more touches and get to the 91, 92 mark, plus catch those six balls a game, it's a lot for a running back over a 17-week season. And you know what? He looked pretty good doing it. You know, he spread out his reps. It was pretty good. So I'm going to say that's a positive. Daniel Jones didn't throw an interception today. So, you know what? Positive.
But he had two fumbles.
But we'll get into that. I said we're staying with the positives.
Okay.
We're staying
okay.
Positive. Put the positive cap on Patricia. Okay. So, he threw for 266. You know, he was a guy who, you know, again, you were right in the opening. The Atlanta Falcons have given up 80 points in the first two games, which you thought, you know, now we could come in, have a really good game and roll and, you know, have a, you know, at home, have a good Eli day. And, you know, we'll get into why that didn't happen. But let's look at the positives. The, you know, we complained about all the long drives from, you know, the opponent's offense. You look over here and the defense had what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or 7 punts to start the game in a fumble, right? They gave up 1 6-play drive for a touchdown. And then at the end of the game, they gave up a 15-play drive and a 7-play drive. They got tired. And that really is what, to me, where the negative starts to come in with the defense. But if you look, they started the game out, 5-play drive punt, 4-play drive punt, 3-play drive punt, 8-play drive, but they had him punt. Then a six-play drive for a touchdown, 3-play drive, fumble recovery, and then three plays punt. So the defense played better today. The defense was constantly in the backfield. They were making things happen. They only gave up like 70 yards rushing, I think. And Matt Ryan did throw for 243, but a lot of that, in my opinion, came late in the game. I think 125 yards came in the last two drives, you know, for the offense of Atlanta. So again, early in the game, defense was showing up, ready to play. Things were going good. Yay. You know, offense, you know, again, let's look at this. First three drives, 11 plays, 4 plays, and 15 plays. The 11-play drive and the 15-play drive led to field goals. But defense was rested. They came back on the field. They got off the field. They, you know, were trying. That's the nucleus they have to keep, right? That's the nucleus. They fell away from it because then the next three in the second quarter, only 3 plays, only 2 plays, only 1 play. And then in the second half, I mean, we had punt, punt, touchdown, punt. So positively started the game right. Defense up until the last two drives was looking good. Now, you know, we can get into the other, but so if they can take this matrix that they've learned and apply it to a four quarter game and Barkley can, you know, keep progressing and getting better. And then the injuries, that's something that's hard to overcome. Shepard, who's the other receiver?
Slayton,
and then Martinez, mm-hmm. the, you know, key factor on defense. Those are really hard to overcome when you're game planned for, you know, these guys to be involved.
Yeah. I mean, Martinez went down, I think, on the 5th play of the game. Slayton and Shepard, who I believe were part of the game plan. I mean, they were a heavy part of that game plan. And to lose them, I think they lost them both in the second quarter, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll see how long they're going to be out for. But, you know, I want to ask you about Saquon, because I know, I think actually the TV commentators and I believe the radio commentators may have commented on this. Saquon's got this really annoying habit, I think, of pussyfooting to the line. Like, he's always looking for that home run ball. He doesn't hit the hole and just push the pile. It's always, you know, he gets to the line and does a quick little jitter step, if you will, and then, you know, either moves to his left, move to his right, looking for that hole for the home run line. So you mentioned he's starting to look like himself. To me, I just feel like they can get more out of him if he would just hit the hole and just move, you know? I mean, the home run ball is not going to be there every time.
I'll tell you this, watching those linemen today, they weren't opening holes up for Jack, okay? There weren't many holes. So he's pausing to hope that they can move a hole and open up a crease so he doesn't have to run in there and bang his head into a wall of Falcons, okay? So, like, when I'm watching it, I see the pause, I see the hop, but he's, like, giving the lineman an extra count to push on somebody, to lean on somebody, to get to their blocks. It looks like maybe he's pussyfooting around, but he's not. What he's trying to do is buy the lineman time to make their blocks because they're not jumping off the page and getting into people. They're not moving people. You know, it's not like they're giving him a crease. They really aren't. And if he doesn't have his hop and skip and his jump steps, you know, he's not going to go anywhere. And nobody wants to run and bump their head into freaking a wall of opponents for, you know, for what do you run today? 16 times?
Yeah, I think it will. Let me look at the stats. 16 times, 51 yards.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't want to, as a running back, you don't want to pound your head into people 16 times. And the linemen just aren't moving people. They're not up front moving people, giving them a quick hole that, you know, if you give a running back a quick glimpse, they'll hit it hard. And if it closes up because the linebackers and safeties come to fill, like, it happens, but a running back's going to hit it. You know, today you look at the blocking, you go back and watch it. There weren't very many creases. He was hopping and delaying the burst forward to just try to give him a minute. An extra count, I should say, not a minute, but give them an extra count to get to their block. So now he has a crease to hit. And the couple of creases they gave him, I mean, he exploded through it. He made some people miss, and boom, here you go. And we know they don't have the best offensive line. We know it, you know. So he's trying to do the most with what he's got up front, you know, and they're not jumping off the page and moving people and, you know, comboing to the second level and giving him an alley at all. And I can't fault a running back that for 2-3 years has been running into opponent walls like he's been running into opponent walls to try to give him an extra count to create a crease for him.
Okay. I mean, fair enough. I guess at some points I'd like to see him maybe lower the shoulder and plow guys over, but I guess that's just not his game. Now, here's something I don't get. Maybe you can explain this to me. The Giants went out and they got Kyle Rudolph, a red zone threat. Mm-hmm. No targets last week in the red zone. Didn't get any targets at all this week. So you had Caden Smith got one target and Evan Engram got six targets. Explain this one to me. Why no Kyle Rudolph, especially down in the red zone?
Play calling sucks. The play calling is absolutely embarrassing.
Now we're getting to the negative, right?
Okay. Here? Yeah. I tried to keep the show positive, folks. And she brought me back to the negative.
You know, as soon as I mentioned Evan Engram.
The dark side coming in. She couldn't help herself. I tried to get out and she pulled me back in.
The play calling, I mentioned Evan Engram. That was it.
Yeah, you saw my face when you said that. I had to bite my lip right away. There were some curse words on the tip of my tongue with that mention. But this is a family show. This is not Maverick Sports Take. So Maverick Sports Take is a completely uncensored show. Tune in. You'll hear me cuss all you want. But this show, I keep it clean. So for this show, it's the play calling. It's atrocious. This is awful. It really is. Jason Garrett comes out with a good game plan. Like I said, he got him down there to the red zone with the 11 and 15 play drives. But then, you know, his butthole puckered and he doesn't let it go. He doesn't fling it. He doesn't rub the rub. I don't understand why he can't understand what a freaking rub route is. I don't understand. Some of the best offenses in the red zone run rub routes. And Jason is like firmly against rub routes. And I just don't understand it. You know, the guys should be able, they're talented. They should be able to win one-on-one. Help them with your play calling. Let's go rub route. How about a rub route? Okay. Hey, can anybody buy a rub route for the Giants? I'll buy two. Okay. So it's just like, I don't get it whatsoever. I really don't understand his play calling. And Rudolph, like we talked about going into the season, I'm really high on him. I think he would have been a great addition, but they're not using him. Even Tony, they're not using him. They gave him like a couple targets today. He got a couple balls. You saw the quickness. You saw the change of direction. And then in the second half, I don't think he was targeted once. So, you know, it's like Jason Garrett scripts his first 30 plays or something. And then once that script goes away, I mean, just look at the results. They are just awful. You know, I mean, like I said, we get in the second quarter, we have three plays, two plays, one. He ran six total plays in the second quarter. In the first quarter, he ran his 30 plays. In the first quarter, he ran 30 plays. In the second quarter, he ran six. The rest of the game, okay, the rest of the whole game, he ran, let me do the math here, 30 plays. So he ran 36 plays in the second and third quarter and the fourth. And in the first quarter, he ran 30. That's play calling. That's not being able to do adjustments and get going here. You know, now penalties played into it a little bit. I can't remember how many they had, but they had a few penalties that, you know, made it a little harder. They, you know, the Falcons got some sacks. Made it a little harder to, you know, get. I'm not trying to just murder Jason, but when you look at these kind of things as a scout, as a personnel guy, I'm looking at play calling because your script for the first 30 is relinquishing results, not red zone results, but you're driving the ball, you're keeping your offense on the field, you're chewing up yards, possession time. First drive was 5 minutes, third drive was 7 minutes and 34 seconds. But then, again, you get into the second quarter, 1 minute, 33 seconds. Well, that was one snap, so let's not kill him. That was 7 seconds. But then, again, coming out of halftime, 3 minutes, 46 seconds, seven plays, and a punt. 3 minutes, 20 seconds, six plays, and a punt. You get into the 10-play drive, 5 minutes, touchdown. Last end of the game, seven plays, 2 minutes, 23 seconds, 19 yards gained. Seven plays to gain 19 yards. You know, you had 10 plays to gain 63 or 64 yards. You know, you had 15 plays to go 78 yards and 11 plays to go 83 yards. So that's how I digest these numbers as a guy who sits in the office and helps the decision makers make the decision and understand, is it talent or coaching? Right now, offensive coaching staff is letting this team down.
So the big question is if you're Joe Judge, how much longer do you stick with things the way they are now? Or do you just say, you know what? Hey, Freddie, never, my love.
Never make that decision ever. Never make that decision. Never. Ever,
never
ever.
Make that decision?
Never, ever.
Why?
Have you met Freddie?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want him calling your place. Sorry. I'm not a Freddie Kitchens guy at all. I'm not a fan. I don't think he should be in the building. I told you that. He's not a Giants guy. He's not a Giants man, in my opinion. He's not a guy that I think would do better than Jason. But I think what you do, if I'm Joe Judge, I have the scouting department run some detailed reports that we can do on play calls that worked against opponents each and every week, down and distance calls, formation adjustments, and hand it to Jason and go over it with Jason. But also part of this loss is on Joe Judge. You giving the ball back with 2 minutes to go and your opponent's got three timeouts, and you give the ball back to them, and you're at a 4th and 9, and you can't look at your offensive coordinator and say, you need to damn well get this 4th and 9 right now. You're at midfield. You need to get this 4th and 9. We need to close this game out. No, he chooses to punt when his opponent's got 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning coming up. So basically stoppage, 4 stoppages of the clock. And that is a terrible decision. You look at your offensive coordinator and say, dial up your best play. We need it right now for this 4th and 9. We need to keep this ball going. We need to move the chains. You know, I can't say that. But it.
I know what you're thinking.
It's something cutting time, and we got to go. You know, oh, you got to grab your manhood and make this 4th and 9 because it's game time. You know, if we kick the ball, they got 4 stoppages of the clock, 2 minutes, and you do have Matty Ice. I'm sorry. The guy is one of the most prolific passers. He never gets the respect, but he's one of the most prolific passers in the NFL since he's entered it. You know, I know, yeah, he had Julio. He had all these great receivers. Screw that. Okay, Montana had Rice and Taylor. I mean, everybody's got someone to catch the ball, so let's not suicide Matty Ice for his ability to deliver it to those guys. Mm. But again, you give a guy like Matty Ice 4 freaking, you know. And again, the drive right before that, if I got it right, the drive right before that went 15 plays, 67 yards for a touchdown, 8 minutes and 40 seconds. So they just showed they could drive on your team. The play, the series before that was 6 plays, 32 yards, and they punted. But your defense had just been out there for 8 minutes and 40 seconds, and you choose to punt the ball when they have 3 timeouts. I know you're at the 50. I get it. If you don't get the 4th and 9, you're giving up great field position. But if your offensive coordinator doesn't have a back pocket play to get 4th and 9 in a key situation like that, and you don't
that's a lack of confidence, I think, in him, no?
Right. And if you don't have trust that he can dial up a 4th and 9 to win a game, like you're 0-2. You're not 2-0. You're not 10-0. You can't drop one. You're 0-2. Dial it up, buddy. Roll the dice. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. I suspect this is coming to a head at some point, especially if this continues, which we'll get into a little later in the show.
Well, here's the other part, though. Let's put this on Judge, too. The hell you throwing the flag for review on that one play? You have, Joe, by the way, you've never won a review in your whole coaching career. You're an ofer. You got an egg. Okay. So careful pulling that out of your sock or wherever you keep it. All right. When you are. And whoever your replay guy is upstairs, you might want to switch him out because he's not giving you good info. That was definitely not a place to waste a timeout right there. That was definitely, the call was not going your way. I'm sitting here watching it on my computer and I'm like, what's he throwing the flag for? That's not going. That's no. And he threw the flag anyways and he lost the timeout. These are coaching decisions.
And you mentioned,
I'm not just going to kill JG. I love JG. You know, I do. I've been to a house. I've eaten dinner. I've broken bread. Him and Judd through my career. Love them to death. Their dad, Jack, everybody's accepted me. I love them. Right. But JG, call me. I'll help you out, buddy. I'll work through this with you. And Joe, you need me in the booth, buddy? I got you. Call me. I got you. But these coaching decisions are what's costing the team a lot of points and ground right now.
And, you know, you mentioned the timeouts. They burned a couple in the second half when they weren't set up.
Dude, they burned one on a punt when they were already backed up into the freaking end zone. Like, take the penalty. What are they going to move it? 6 inches?
I did not get that one at all. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, now, you know, did that factor in at the end of the game there? I thought it did because the Falcons got the ball back, I think, with a minute 30. So if your defense is playing decently, theoretically, they can get a stop and you can stop the clock and maybe give your offense another chance. I mean, unless I'm missing something there. I mean,
they got the ball back at a minute 50, 150, and they had three timeouts. So I was wrong. They didn't have the 2 minute warning already on the other side. But they got the ball back at 150 and they had three timeouts.
The Falcons did.
The Falcons did.
The Giants had one.
The Giants had one.
Yeah, they burned two.
Because of the punt. They had a freaking call one on the, and again, coaching decision. Well, if we get delay a game here, we're already at the two. What are they going to move it back? 6 inches? Yeah, take the penalty. Keep the timeout. Don't call a timeout in that situation. Burn a timeout. Why? Like, keep the timeout. They'll move the ball 6 inches and you're still punting out of your end zone. Like, you're not giving much up there, you know? And that's the coaching decision that, again, it's like, know that. Put situational coaching, you got to know that. You got to run that scenario quickly in your head and say, no, just take the penalty here. Yeah. We need that timeout. Those are sacred. We're not seeing that.
Hey, Giant fans, if you do a lot of driving like I do, then you need to know about a fantastic new app called Get Upside. When you open an account on Get Upside, you can get up to 25 cents per gallon back every time you fill up at the pump. Over time, that kind of savings starts to add up. Some people are making as much as $200 to $300 per month in cash back with Get Upside, which not only makes it easy for you to save, but which also gives you multiple cash out options, such as direct payment to your bank account, PayPal, Amazon gift cards, and more. And all these cash out options are available to you anytime you choose. And right now, when you open up an account and use our special promo code Touchdown, you can get a bonus 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents back per gallon. So don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Download the free Get Upside app. Use our special promo code Touchdown when you sign up for your account and start saving every time you fill up your car or truck when you are at the pump. Again, that's Get Upside. Available on the iTunes Store or the Google Play Store. And our special promo code is Touchdown for your extra bonus. All right, Giant fans, we have more coming up on today's show. But first, get all the latest news, odds, info, and sign-up bonuses for all your sporting needs by heading over to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device. When you open an account and use our special promo code NFL100, you'll get a 100% welcome bonus on your initial deposit. Again, that's code NFL100 for your 100% welcome bonus. Terms and conditions apply. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's turn to the defense. Now, you mentioned that the defense didn't play that badly, despite the fact that they had a few missed opportunities, particularly in the defensive secondary. But let's get into your general statement about the defense didn't look that badly. just kind of take us through. I thought towards the end they went into more of a prevent, and you know, but you're right. I guess you know they were getting some pressure. They, you know, they were Kyle Pitts, two catches, 35 yards. I think the only guy who really broke loose was Patterson, six catches, 82 yards. Zacchaeus and Smith both with touchdown passes. I mean, tell me what you saw with the defense just throughout, and was there a part of the game that you said to yourself, Patrick, what are you doing, man?
No, I'll be honest. I mean, they bottled up the run, 69 yards. Mike Davis only he touched the ball 12 times, got 50 yards. I mean, that's if you could do that every week against every NFL team, that's any NFL team, that's damn well impressive. 69 yards giving up rushing, that's impressive. Okay. And without your starting middle linebacker, like you said, like play three, he was out. And you still held them that way. That's impressive. Passing wise, I mean, again, you dare them to use Zacchaeus and Smith to beat you. And you know, here's the thing. Patterson, who's a damn tough player. I mean, he plays special. I love this kid, right? Plays special teams, runs the ball, catches the ball. I mean, whatever you want, he's just a damn football player. So, you know, love the kid, and it's keeping him bottled up's hard as hell. And they, you know, they kept him to, I think, 102 yards today, which for him is good because, you know, he's been able to go a lot more yards between catching and running, you know, combined. Ridley, they kept him to eight receptions off 11 targets, 61 yards and no touchdowns. Again, that's another very hard person to bottle up, and they did pretty well with that. I mean, that's under 10 yards a catch, and he's a guy who's pretty explosive. Pitts only having two catches and three targets. Again, they took away what they needed to, and, you know, the other guys, you know, showed up. They did. And that's what you need to push them. But, again, it's an NFL defense. The goal typically is hold them to 17 or less. You know, right now it's kind of like 21. If you look at all the scores today, if your defense were to hold them under 21, you're probably 80, 90% wins, victories today, okay? Today, and if you listen to last week's show, I wasn't really nice to the defense. Today, the defense did their job. You know, I just feel at the end of the game, and when you look at the drive charts, they got tired. That's all that happened, because in the third quarter, the Giants didn't really run a lot of plays. And the fourth quarter, they only had one series for seven plays. And, you know, the Falcons were out there 15, 7, 6. The Falcons in the second half ran 31 plays, I think. 31 plays to the Giants, 30. So, I'm sorry. The Giants only ran 30 plays in three quarters. But that, you know, like I said, it's – I think they just got tired towards the end, and you know, the other team gets paid to coach too, but they held them to 17 points. Now the defensive back should be on the jugs machine all week because they missed two interceptions, maybe even three. And one of them was in the end zone where it should have been caught and just, you know, took care of that drive. But the defensive backs, I mean, they really should take more pride in their hands and be ready. They should be running tip drills and jug drills and tennis ball drills for the rest of the season to make sure they don't miss these opportunities, because they could have changed the game with those interceptions. Other than that, it's hard to really get after them, the defense on this one. It really is.
Did you like the job Patrick Graham did, and what did he change up from last time?
It looked like he played more man, less zone. He matched, it looked like Peppers was matching on Pitts, and Bradbury was matched on Ridley most of the game. And then Patterson, they were bracketing. So they were trying to put two people on Patterson and then matching Peppers and Bradbury on the top two guys. And I think it was a good game plan. Again, you don't do that every down, but it seemed like, you know, most of the game, that's what they were trying to do. and it worked really well. I mean, they had to start running Ridley on crossing routes to get away from Bradbury, because the hooks and the normal outs and the streaks and stuff weren't working on Bradbury because he could cover those. So they're now they're running crossing patterns and a thing called a rub route, JG rub route. And so they were doing that stuff to free up Ridley to get Bradbury rubbed off of the coverage. That's what it's called, rub route. They rub off the coverage. So, you know, things like that was what Arthur Smith was dialing up, and Dave Ragone, they wound up dialing up for Ridley to free him up. But I think, you know, the Atlanta Falcons offensive line is not very good. So our rush four and five got in there and got how many sacks did we wind up with today?
3 sacks, 6 quarterback hits.
Right. So we were getting home. We were moving Matty Ice off his spot. And, you know, so again, the defense, I think Ojulari is a first Giants defensive end to record a sack in his first 3 games as a Giant. So, you know, that kid's starting to pay dividends and he's showing up. So again, I can't ever fault an NFL defense. If you hold an opponent to 17 points, you did your job. You did your job today.
So it falls back basically on the offense and the decisions that were made there.
In my opinion, you got offensive decision making and game and overall time management and decision making from the head coach that really cost them this game. And when it's such a tight game, you know, it really is that kind of those few decisions that cost you this kind of game. If you're getting blown out, those decisions aren't the only things that cost you it. When it's this tight, it's those decisions that do cost you the game.
So again, the question comes back, you know, just to go back to the offense. I mean, you don't like the idea of Freddie as working hand in hand with Jason or even solo with Jason. They probably don't have time, I don't think, to do what you had proposed earlier about, you know, running reports and doing some self-scouting. They've got the Saints next week.
Oh, you can run those reports very quick. Oh,
you can? I was going to say, what do they do? I mean, or do they just hope that, you know, at what point do they say, okay, you know, Jason, you didn't have, you know, Galladay, you didn't have Rudolph, you didn't have Barkley throughout the summer, so we're going to give you a pass. I mean, at what point do you just say, that's it, you know, dude, we're going into week 4 here. You should know what you've got and how to use it.
Well, again, I'm not of the mindset regular season is to be treated like preseason. You know, I'm a tough individual. I want to win every game. I don't accept excuses why we don't win every game. And the first 3 games for the New York Football Giants were all winnable games. You didn't line up and play the Rams. You haven't lined up and played Tampa Bay. You haven't lined up and played Seattle. No, you've lined up and played 3 beatable teams. Okay, you have. So now, even though Denver's 3-0, congratulations, Broncos, George Payton, hey, love you, guy. But and you're 3-0, well done. That was a winnable game for the Giants. You know, Washington was a winnable game for the Giants. This was a winnable game for the Giants. So I don't see it as an individual where I'm not the kind of individual, I should say, that allows passes. I want accountability. I want to know why we're not winning, and I want to know now. And again, the reports that I'm talking about, we can run technology these days. You can run scoring drives. You can go look those plays up. You can put those plays in a video thing. I'm sure they have. If they haven't, I'd be amazed. But you can put those plays inside a video. In, you know, you can go 30 to 30, 30 on in. You can do out, coming out plays. All the video is there, plus the physical reports on the play-by-play and the game reports get matched in GSIS, which is their data collecting thing, right? So if they don't know how to do it, give me a call. I will consult you on how to do it, but I'm pretty sure they do because Dave taught me most of what I know and Kenny and those guys over there. And so I'm pretty sure they know what I'm talking about. And, you know, for me, it's just like looking at those plays, seeing what's successful against, you know, your opponent in these situations, and then digesting it and going, what plays do we have? What can we modify in our playbook that's similar? You know, what formations? I think a formation they're very, 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 very underutilizing is a 12 personnel with trips to the boundary because you can put Ingroff over in trips to the boundary with a Shepherd and Waddle, and then you put Galladay and Rudolph on the other side, and you still have Saquon on the backfield. You know what I mean? So you can run 0-2, 12 personnel. You can do a lot of different things with this team. You have talent, and it would confuse the defense because you don't really run that stuff. But you know, when Jason motions out of trips into a 2x2 set, I think that's people already know what's coming. You got to stay in trips. You got to go 3x1. You got to use their 0-2 personnel because you have the receivers. You can do it, and the tight ends to do it. And you know, if you're going to go 21 personnel and 22 personnel, that's fine. I'm all about it. Just stay out of the 11 personnel 2x2 formations because that's where people are already lined up and they know what you're doing.
All right. This is going to sound like a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. The Giants, they have all these playmakers. And I know coaches will say, oh, well, this is a good problem to have, but do they maybe have too many now to where they're overthinking some of these formations and plays that they're calling on offense?
Again, the script works for the first 30. The script's working for the first 30, except the red zone. Okay, when they get that down to the red zone, buttholes pucker, and for some reason we're not letting it fly, okay? But when you're looking at moving the ball in the first 30 plays, it's working. It's just that, you know, once those first 30 are done, I think he stays too vanilla. And that's where he has to say, okay, the first 30 are done. Now let me run some exotic looks like the 3x1s and the you know, 0-2 personnels and this and that. Let me throw that in from 31 to 41. And then when it gets tight late in the game, I'll go back to the first 30 plays that worked. But in the middle 10 plays, in the middle 10 play calls, that's where I would get a little exotic with this team. Because I think what Jason's doing, like I said, in the first 30, he's moving the ball. Once you get down into the red zone, I would love this team to get back to Giant football, which is pounding the rock. Let's go 23 personnel, and let's go mano a mano and see if you can beat me. Because you know what? I think they got some hogs that again, can move some people. And then 23 personnel, you got Rudolph, you got Ingram, you got Saquon who can catch the ball, you got Penny who can catch the ball, you know, you got guys that can catch the ball, so you can check in 23 personnel and run routes still. Like you know what, you can give this heavy look and that we're just going to pound the rock and then all of a sudden clap some hands and people spread out. And you got Ingram one-on-one on the side. Like, I'm not an Ingram fan, and you all know that. But he's a big receiver. If you go one-on-one against a safety or an outside linebacker and you hike the ball quick, you were going to win 80% of that snap right there. You got Rudolph spread out to another side with Saquon and Penny. What are they going to do? They're either going to waste a timeout because they don't know what the hell you're doing, or you're going to snap the ball and have a one-on-one or a one-on-zero because they don't know how to adjust. And that's the old stuff that Parcells used to do. Parcells used to run 12 personnel in, take 11, go to 10, go back to 12, run 12 twice in a row, then go to 11, then go back to 10, and then go to 21. And he had you running guys on and off the field constantly, but then he would run different looks out of it. And it would just keep you kind of guessing on what he's really going to do. And, you know, I don't know why JG doesn't see this. Like, you know, it's stuff that I've heard people talk about my whole career. So, you know, I'm all for helping them out. They know that. I love them over there. And I love the Giants. You guys know that. I'm just frustrated like the rest of the fans because fixing this to me is just about, you know, understanding your opponent better. And then taking what works against your opponent and using it against them.
Hey, Giant fans, before we continue more with David Turner, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means that you can watch your favorite sports, movies, shows, and any program that you like all in one place without the benefit of multiple remotes confusing you, different devices and whatnot. And the best part of DirecTV Stream is there's no annual contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. All right, Giant fans, we'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, Built Bar is a healthy, low-carb, low-sugar, and high-protein treat that will satisfy your sweet tooth. Choose from 9 amazing flavors, plus the occasional limited-time offering available in nut and nut-free varieties. Visit BuiltBar.com and get 15% off your first order with the promo code LOCKED15. Again, that's LOCKED15, L-O-C-K-E-D, 1-5, at BuiltBar.com for 15% off your first order. Now, the Giants have 2 road games coming up against the Saints down in the House of Horrors, that is the Superdome, and then against Dallas, which they look pretty good, Dallas. I mean, a little better than I thought they would. At this point, you know, 3 tough losses for this Giants team, and I know they're going to talk about, okay, we got to forget about it, we got to focus on the next game, but at some point, it does start to seep in. I mean, you're human. So if you're advising the coaching staff this week, what do you tell them as far as, A, keeping these guys from having that losing mentality, you know, settle in into their minds? And then how do you just, you know, given the challenges that are coming up, how do you structure the coming weeks as far as practice, as far as what you put your focus on with corrections and what you want to work on?
I'm old school. Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm old school. If I'm the head coach, I'm standing up telling him I lost this game for him tomorrow. And I got my offensive coordinator next to me saying I lost this game for you guys tomorrow. Wasn't you, wasn't your effort. It was us. That's how you get them to play for you. Because if you walk in there finger pointing, they're going to want to know why is the fingers not pointing back at you. You wasted timeouts. You wasted opportunities. Your play calling was terrible. You know, Waddle, I heard one of the commentators today say Waddle was frustrated not getting the ball, and he said something, but he wouldn't blame it on play calling. Well, if it's not play calling, it's your quarterback not getting you the ball. So which one is it, Waddle? You know, which one is it? If you're not going to blame the play calling.
You mean Tony or do you mean
Tony? Sorry,
Galladay.
Tony. I think Waddle and Tony looked
like. Yeah, I'm like, I wasn't sure if you meant Galladay because both of them were frustrated with getting the ball without
Tony ball. Mentioned he was upset about not getting the ball. And, you know, he has every right to be. He's a first round pick. He's getting paid well. And Tony deserves getting the ball. And, you know, it's just a situation. I know. I think I said Waddle all week or all show. I apologize to the. It's Tony.
No, just wanted to clarify that because I wasn't sure if you were talking about Galladay. So Tony got the ball. Let's see, the 3 targets, 2, and he caught 2.
And they were in Galladay the first half.
Galladay was 4 or 5. So.
Yeah, and again, you have a lot of weapons to choose from, and it is a good thing. It really is. You just have to. The plays 31 through 41 need to be better. Those 10 play calls need to be better. And that's how I would keep the team, honestly. I would stand up and say it was my fault. I threw that flag. I called a timeout on special teams that really wouldn't have cost us. We could have used them later in the game. You know, Jason stands up, says, listen, you know, my first 30 script work. I need to do a better job with 31 through 60. You know, that's just the way it is. If the coaches don't take accountability for close game losses like this, I think they'll lose the team faster than anything. You know, if the team got blown, like, I don't think the team played really well against Denver, and you know that. I told them I would have been in pads the next day. You don't want to work? We'll work. But you can't really do that this game. This game, yeah. I thought they played well. You know, and again, if I'm judge, I look at my offense coordinator and say, if you run a naked quarterback boot again with this kid, you might be costing yourself a job. like, knock it off. Like, if he's got a scramble, he's got a scramble. But if he goes down, you're going to play Mike Glennon. Like, we need to win. This is a year we need to win. And so it's like these naked bootlegs and crap when he's not the most athletic. It's, you're not looking at Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray or, you know, or Russell Wilson even. You know, you're looking at a guy who moves well, but these, you know, he led last week on Thursday night. I think he led the team in rushing. And then today, you know, he had another eight attempts for 39 yards. And I know a couple of them were called for him to run. And I'm like, come on, man, you got to stop that.
And there weren't a lot of RPOs this week, if I'm not mistaken.
It didn't look like it. No,
I didn't see. I think maybe I saw one. I mean, unless I missed a couple, but you know, I don't know what they were thinking. All I know is this game, like you said, winnable game. They should have won it for Eli. You know, once again, the organization let them down. Whether it was the coaches, whether it's the players, whether it was a combination of everything. And now this Giant team is in an 0-3 hole. They've got back-to-back road games, like I said, in two places that have been very historically difficult for them to win in. And they haven't even gotten to the tough part of their schedule yet. I am very, very concerned about these next few games. Before we close up, give me a reason not to be concerned. Tell me it's going to be okay. What can I hang my hat on that, you know, not just me, but everybody listening, that it's going to be okay?
Well, they got a bye week, so they're not going to lose this week.
They don't have the bye week this week.
Oh, they don't? I thought they had the bye week after this week. I'm sorry.
No. They don't have it till week 11.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They have New Orleans next week, and they have Dallas the week after on the road.
Well, then
you got nothing, right?
Well, let's just be honest. I mean, they lost three preseason games. They've lost three regular season games. And they're going down to New Orleans to face a team that's, again, defeatable. You can beat them. You know, they're not the most impressive. They're defeatable. But then they, again, like you just said, they got Dallas, Rams, Carolina, Kansas City, and Vegas. And those five teams are kind of rolling right now. So if they don't get a win here, you might see a team that's 0-9, you know, going into that situation. And I don't wish that on them. I don't. But as we, you know, when you're sitting here in week three, New Orleans is 2-1. Dallas should be, I mean, shoot, they're playing really good offense. Their defense doesn't have much of a pass rush. They don't have depth there, but they're playing really good football. The Rams offense is just absolutely explosive and just explosive, and they're clicking and gelling. Carolina is showing that they can score points, and their defense is number one in the country, in the league right now. By the time they face them, they might slip down to 3 or 4 because they got some teams coming up that might push that. But you know, then Kansas City's explosive offense and the Vegas team. Again, their pass rush is pretty dang good, and their offense is one of the most potent offenses, you know, in the league right now. And they had Renfro and Ruggs and Waller all going today, and they found a running back today without Jacobs. He went for over 100 yards. So what I'm saying is, you kind of tricked off the first four or the first three games that you could have won and been 3-0 or 2-1. And now you're looking at a really hard road, and you don't want to be 0-9. What do you want to hang your hat on? Defense played better today. Saquon looked healthy. Yeah, Jones didn't throw an interception. Your offensive line still needs to gel, come together, fix itself, and your coaching decisions need to become better. It's all fixable. It's all doable. You just have to be willing to go into the lab and make it happen.
Yeah, amen to that. I mean, it's just been such a frustrating, you know, coming out of the preseason. I mean, I wonder, and I was talking about this with one of my colleagues today. I'm like, we were debating just how ready this team was for the season. And they basically had all offseason to get ready for these first three games. And they just haven't, they didn't look ready against Denver. You know, they looked a little better against Washington. Except for, you know, like you had said about the defensive lack of a plan. And then this game came along. So, you know, you would have liked them to have been 3-1 after the first four games. The only good thing about it is they're going to have a high priority order in the waiver wire system because it resets after this week. So I think the Jets are also winless. So it comes down to, I think, who's been beaten the worst.
And well, let's see.
I think that's how
winless. Lions are winless. Jets are winless.
You have Giants a bunch. Yeah.
Who else? Ofer over here.
Jacksonville, I think.
Yeah, Jacksonville, Colts are Ofer. Mm-hmm. I think that's it right now that are Ofers. Vikings won today. They're 1-2. So yeah, there's like five or six teams that are Ofer. And Jacksonville is probably still going to be the top in the claiming order. Yeah. And the Jets right behind them. So it's that's a hard one because people aren't cutting really good players right now.
Yeah,
So,
well, look, this, as always, this is therapeutic, and I know me especially, I laughed a lot, but I needed that. We're recording this Sunday night, folks, so after sitting through that, I needed the laughter. Even though it's not really something to be laughing at, but David, as always, fantastic stuff. Love the shows that we do together because they're so informative and you just make sense of so many things. And maybe the Giants will call you. I mean, gosh, you have so many good ideas at this point. They could probably use another brain in that, in that coaching staff there.
Again, I'm more than willing to help. I love them to death. I wouldn't be where I'm at today without that organization, without those people. You know, I love them like family, and to see family struggle like this, you want to be, I'm like that tag team guy I'm like the ultimate warrior on the freaking ropes. Tag me in. Like, yeah. let me come in and do this. But again, they have smart people there. I mean, trust me, Dave and Kenny and, oh God, she's all of them over there. Chris Pettit. And I mean, I have respect for all of Mark Kontz and all of them, mm-hmm. Kevin Abrams, they all know I love them to death and I do anything for them. And I know but the coaching staff really needs to lean. I think I can't say they're not, but it doesn't appear to be on the outside looking in. Lean more, ask more of your scouting staff right now to help you pull you in, out of this, get you better prepared, which, they can do. They know how to do this. And they taught me, but if you do need me, you ring the phone. I'll be there tomorrow morning. We'll get after it. And, some people won't like me. I understand that. They won't like what I have to say because I'm going to point fingers. I get that. But at the end of the day, if we're holding the trophy, we'll all be better for it. If we don't, but we at least turn the season around, we'll be better for it. I guarantee you we will not be worse for it because that's just not the kind of man I am.
Yeah. Well said, my friend. All right, folks, that is going to do it for this particular show. Coming up this week on the Locked On Giants podcast, Ed Valentine will be with me. And we'll kind of do a general state of where the Giants are at. We'll have a Twitter mailbag. We'll have the crossover show with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. So much more coming up here on the Locked On Giants podcast. Appreciate you tuning in and listening. Hope you enjoyed today's show. And David, appreciate you. And we'll see you again next week. Hopefully talk about a win. Maybe they will have listened to this show and said, hey, maybe that Turner guy has some good ideas. So maybe we'll do this stuff with the scouting department and whatnot. So fingers crossed, because I can't take much more of these losses. So, all right, Giant fans, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.